All right, we are in Philippians chapter 3, and we're looking at verse number 12. But before we get into verse number 12, what we have found in our previous verses that we studied is that if you notice what Paul does, Paul used an accounting metaphor in verse 7 and verse 8 to describe our spiritual standing before God with regard to salvation. He talks about the gain or the profit and loss. And as we continue, as we look now what he's transferring on, is he's no longer now using an accounting metaphor. But what he does is he begins to use an athletic metaphor when you begin to look at verse 12 through verse 16. And you might think that as you're reading this, that Paul must have been a sports fan, because over and over again in his letters, we see him using sports illustrations to make his point. Sometimes he speaks of wrestling, and sometimes he speaks of boxing, and other times he speaks of running and winning the race and receiving the victor's crown. And so he uses those illustrations. And as he uses those illustrations, he talked about the discipline necessary to win and the danger of being disqualified. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 26 and 27. And so so today what we're going to explore is that we're going to explore Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 through verse 16. And what we're going to learn, and I want you to kind of write this down, is what we're going to learn is we're going to see five principles within chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. And we're going to see how Paul expressed an incredible zeal for the Lord and his desire to become mature in Christ and to be faithful to the end. And so when we look at these five principles, we're going to see these principles that Paul learned about how to spiritually press toward the prize. And so the first principle that I would have you to write down, the first principle is to be dissatisfied. Be dissatisfied. Now let's look at verse 12. In verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, when you begin to look at this, here we have a statement by a great Christian, Paul, who never permitted himself to be satisfied with his spiritual accomplishments. Paul was satisfied with Jesus Christ, but he was not satisfied with how well himself followed Christ. And so we see that a sanctified dissatisfaction is the first essential for making progress in the Christian race. Now, what Paul was saying is listen, I know I haven't arrived yet. I can't rest on my laurels. I must continue to grow. I must continue to press toward the goal. And so unlike many contemporary leaders, Paul had no problem admitting his own shortcomings. Paul wasn't perfect, and he knew it. And that became the place where his spiritual growth could begin. So if Paul needed to keep growing and striving, then surely every one of us must do the same. We must keep growing. We must keep striving. And so what happens to a person when they become spiritually satisfied or comfortable? A person who becomes spiritually satisfied or comfortable becomes proud and lazy. They become proud and lazy. And so, how sad for any congregation, how sad for any Christian who say we have grown enough, we have learned enough, and we have matured enough. And so it's obvious how that kind of attitude slams the door on all future growth. In other words, they're saying, well, I don't need to know anything else. I know enough. And so, well, let me ask you a question. And that question that I want to ask for you to think about is, are any of us satisfied with where we are spiritually? Are any of us satisfied with where we are spiritually? And so as we look at that, do any of us think that we have arrived and that we have no need for progress or improvement? I believe all of us can admit that we haven't arrived yet. We still have some growing to do. And so to even ask that question seems ridiculous, because it's obvious that there is always room for growth. We always need to be growing. And so as we continue, when we look at the lives of some Christians and see their lack of effort towards spiritual growth, we might think that they think that they have arrived and no longer need to progress. Paul was not satisfied with his own progress. And that is what drove him to become more mature and effective. There was a preacher who once said, sad will be the day for any man when he becomes content with the thoughts he is thinking, the deeds he has been doing, when there is not forever beating at the door of his heart the desire to do that great work for which he knows he was made. And so what we see here is a divine dissatisfaction is essential for spiritual progress. The maturing Christian honestly evaluates himself or herself and strives to do better each day. So principle number one is be dissatisfied. Principle number two, be devoted. Be devoted. Paul wrote, look at verse 13 again. In verse 13, Paul says, I do not consider, or I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's words here convey a truth, and we need a clear focus, and we must be devoted to a singular goal. We need a clear focus, and we must be devoted to a singular goal. Our lives are often not characterized as this one thing I do, but these 50 things I dabble in. And so in contrast to that, Paul had a singular focus that we might call he was obsessed with. He was obsessed with this singular focus. And so whether he was sailing the Mediterranean, or whether he was speaking in the synagogue, or writing letters to young churches, he was focused on Jesus. For Paul's life, every situation was faced in view of his relationship with Christ and his heavenward goal. Paul was able to grow and to be used by God to grow the kingdom because he was on target. Concentrating is a secret to influence and effectiveness. We need to be concentrating. I know all the things that's going around. I know the debate on that night, but we still need to be focused on one single goal, and that is Jesus Christ and making heaven our home. If a river is allowed to overflow its banks, it just produces a swamp. But if the same river is controlled and directed, it becomes a source of great power and good. So being clearly devoted to our spiritual goal helps us to live for what matters most, and to have our priorities in order. And so I want to encourage each of us to ask ourselves, how clearly am I concentrating on the spiritual? Because many times we're so focused on the physical. But how clearly are we concentrating on the spiritual? Is our one thing I do a pressing on towards spiritual goal to which we have been called? And so principle one is to be dissatisfied. Principle two is to be devoted. But then there is principle three. Principle three is to be directed. Be directed. Let's again read the same scripture, verse 13 and 14. It's right there. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One of the keys to making progress in every aspect of life is to have the right direction by keeping our eyes focused on the present and the future rather than the past. What would happen in a race if all the runners tried to run the race looking backward? Probably no one would finish the race, and everyone would likely get injured. See, this disaster strikes when we run our race looking back. How does looking to the past trip us up in the present? Well, the past is often filled with both achievements and mistakes. Both achievements and mistakes. And if we choose to focus on our past mistakes and sins, then we can be immobilized by guilt and regret. And although we may have asked for forgiveness, we sometimes can't shake the shame and reshape our self-image. So this did not seem to be a problem for the Apostle Paul. Now, you got to remember now, Paul had been a persecutor. He had been a murderer of Christians. But when he came to have faith and obey Jesus, he received God's grace and forgiveness. And Paul's strategy was try to forget the past and strain toward the future. Now, I don't think that means that Paul had erased his mind of those memories, but rather I think he means he no longer allowed the memories to weigh him down. And so we have to continue to keep pressing. When God promises in Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities I remember no more, God is not suggesting that he has a bad memory, but that he no longer holds those sins against us. And so forgetting the things behind simply means to break the power of the past by living for the future. And since the past cannot be changed, but the future can. The other way that focusing on the past can trip us up is by resting on our achievements and accomplishments of the past. Paul has some great religious achievements in the past that he could have tried to glory in, but the important thing is not the past, but the present and the future. Being faithful in the past doesn't help us if we are not faithful in the present and the future. Let me say that again. Being faithful in the past doesn't help us if we are not faithful in the present and the future. Now imagine saying to God, well, in my first 10 years of walking with Christ, I was full of zeal, was in worship every Sunday, read my Bible and prayed daily and gave generously of my money and time, and I helped 10 people become Christian. So I figure I had done enough. So the last 20 years, I have just been coasting, and that's why you don't see me in worship or praying or serving or saving people. But that's okay, isn't it? That's what we think. That's not the kind of spiritual walk or attitude that pleases God. We must live and serve in the present and strive for the future. Our focus must not be directed toward the past, whether the past was filled with great achievements or grave mistakes. And as we run the Christian race, our gaze must be directed toward the present and the future. If our focus is backward, we will trip and we will fall. So, principle number one, be dissatisfied. Principle number two, be devoted. Principle number three, be directed. And then principle number four, be determined. Be determined. As you go back and again, you're looking at verse 13 and 14. Draw your attention to the word pressing or reaching for or striving toward. The word that Paul used is not reaching for, but straining toward. It is a word used for runners in a race going all out for the victory tape at the finishing line. Just imagine, vision the runner leaning into the tape, hands clawing the air. Every muscle is full of striving, and he throws himself across the finishing line. Paul said that is the kind of spiritual drive and effort he was putting forth. Paul was determined to be God's servant. He was determined to accomplish God's mission and was determined to receive God's reward. But it is important to know that determination was not all based on his effort. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29, Colossians 1 and verse 29, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And so I hope that all of us are inspired by Paul's determination. Paul is a great example for us as he sets an incredible pace for us to follow. Let's be determined, like Paul was determined. Determined to accomplish God's mission. And determined to receive God's reward. But let's also be determined to strain toward the goal by employing God's power and not our own. And so again, principle one, I'm just making sure you get it, be dissatisfied. Principle two, be devoted. Principle three, be directed. Principle four, be determined. And the last principle is be disciplined. Be disciplined. Look at verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16. It says that in Philippians chapter 3, notice what he says. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. The concept that I want you to focus on here is found again in verse 16. He says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. In other words, living up to what we have already attained. This phrase speaks of consistent living that is the results of discipline. It takes discipline to maintain consistent attention on an important goal. And that's true. If we're talking about our goals of healthy eating and exercise, we have to continue as well to practice spiritual discipline, or we will lose the spiritual ground that we have gained. How easy is it to get out of that good habit of being in worship and Bible study, even though now we are not meeting for Bible classes on Wednesday night? We just had a conference call and Bible classes on Sunday morning, and we're not meeting on Sunday night. How easy for us to get in that good habit of, hey, we hadn't been coming, so now we need to continue. How easy is it to get out of the good habit of daily Bible reading and prayer? How easy is it to get out of the good habits of using our tongues for good and not evil? Listen, as I begin to close, if we're going to be able to keep making progress toward the spiritual goal of maturity in Christ, we have to maintain a discipline of healthy spiritual practices, even while we try to make even more progress. We don't want to regress. We don't want to lose ground. But we want to keep living up to the progress that we have attained. And with God's help through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we can. But we must do our part by being dissatisfied, being devoted, being directed, being determined, and being disciplined. And so next week, Lord's willing, we'll continue. We'll be looking at verse 17, because what Paul begins to do now is that if you continue to read verse 17 on, Paul points out to us that there are only two kinds of people. There are those, number one, there are those who have their eyes on this world and its pleasures and are living accordingly. But then there are those whose eyes are on heaven and its ways, and they are living accordingly. And so the thing I want you to think about tonight, the question that you need to ponder on tonight, is which kind of person are you? Which kind of person are you? We will look at this, Lord's willing, on next Wednesday night.